Thank you, Nate, and thank you, Colin and Cadence, for sharing with us about your camp experience. As Nate said, it will not bother me one bit if you pull out your smartphone right now or device and go to altamesa.org and give to the Youth Camp Scholarship Fund. We would love for you to support our teens as they go to camp this summer. Join me in this prayer. O God, who guided the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, give us the Spirit to become truly wise and ever rejoice in your goodness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So we live in a world that desires knowledge, but rarely displays wisdom. And some of you may be thinking, well, what's the difference between the two? What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Well, simply stated, knowledge is learned and wisdom is lived. Now, here's how an old-time preacher by the name of Charles Spurgeon put it. I love how he summarizes this idea. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many people know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge, how to really use knowledge, is to have wisdom. So let me put it this way for the younger generation. If you want knowledge, ask Siri. If you want wisdom, ask God. I mean, literally, that's what God's word tells us to do, as Carrie pointed out earlier. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to them. And so wisdom is the way of God. Now, don't misunderstand me. Desiring knowledge, pursuing knowledge, there is nothing wrong with that, but I believe that pursuit should be coupled with a faithful, wise life. Because in a world of chaos that champions a pursuit of our own selfish way, Scripture holds out an alternative path. It's in an alternative path that you cannot Google. Sorry, you can't. It's not there. But if you keep reading in James chapter 1, here's what you'll find. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's wisdom. Do what it says. The way of wisdom that I want us to focus on today, we've been in this series for several weeks now, and I want us to look at a particular way. It's this. Our priorities will determine our path. That is always the case. Our priorities will determine our path. This is true for all of us, no matter where we are in our faith journey. What you put first in your life will determine where you end up in this life and in the next. Let me offer you a few examples so that we can think about this idea about our priorities. Think about getting out of debt. If you want to get out of debt, what do you have to do? Well, first you have to set a goal, right? I want to get out of debt. Or maybe you want to start with, I want to get out of this particular debt. Whatever your goal is, okay. Well, what is that going to require of you? Well, first, if you don't have a budget, you need one, right? You need to create a budget. If you happen to have a budget, maybe it's time to reprioritize that budget. So you're going to have to spend your money differently so that you can pay down that debt and reach that end of the path goal of being debt-free. What about being healthy? If you want to be a healthier person, if you want to get in shape, what is that going to require of you? What are you going to have to do? Well, again, you're going to have to set a goal. What does that mean? What does that look like for you? Be specific. But for some of us, maybe that means eating differently. For example, maybe giving up sugar or the bad carbs, etc. You know, you guys know the drill on the different diets. There's lots of options. You can go Google that. You can Google that and find that. But what else do you need to do? Well, maybe you need to change some of your eating habits, right? For example, eating late at night, so I'm told, is not a good idea. I don't necessarily follow that all the time, but I hear that's a good shift in eating habits. But you're probably going to have to exercise too, right? If you want to be healthier, if you want to get in shape, you're probably going to have to do some exercising. So maybe you do nada right now, zilch, you don't do anything. Well, just get up and walk around the block. Start somewhere. If you have a goal of getting in shape, these are some of the things you're going to have to do. What about being more family-oriented? You want to reprioritize your family. Well, what does that look like? What is that going to require of you? Well, it's going to require you to say no to some important things. It's going to require you to say no to some maybe things that you feel like are very important in your life, but they're not as important as your family. So you're going to have to say no to those things so that you can say yes more often to your family. You're going to have to reprioritize your primary ministry, which is your family. So again, here's the simple truth. Our priorities will always determine our path. So as we go through this lesson today, here's the question I really want you to ponder, consider. I want you to reflect on this question. It's very simple. What are your priorities? What are your priorities? Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount that the highest priority in any disciple's life is this, Matthew 6:33. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All the other worries, all the other basic necessities that we tend to be anxious about, Jesus says, will you just seek my kingdom first and my righteousness? You're going to hear me say this often over the next few minutes. Will you just trust me? Will you just seek after me and my righteousness? Just follow me, trust me, Jesus says. And all of these other things will be provided. Now, hear me straight on this. Jesus is not promising extravagance. It's not what he promises, never does. But he does promise to provide the things that we need if we will seek him first and his kingdom. Now, I don't know what you think about when you hear the word kingdom here in Matthew chapter 6, but Jesus has the way of God in mind here as he lays out the kingdom-oriented vision of God in Matthew 5 through 7. And so when you hear the word kingdom, maybe you think about castles, maybe you think about power or prestige. But Jesus has something entirely different in mind here. Jesus is inviting us into this narrow path that is paved by the ways of God. Let me illustrate it for you like this. Have any of you read Alice in Wonderland? Anybody read that story? Oh man, there's not enough hands in the air right now. All right, some of you, bless your heart. Thank you for joining the Alice in Wonderland Club. If you haven't read this story, I recommend it highly. So let me tell you about a part of the story. If you've read it, you know where I'm going. This illustrates where we're going today. There's a time in the story where Alice arrives at this fork in the road. And there's a cat, a particular kind of cat, Cheshire cat, right? Little mischievous grin on his face. And she comes up to the fork and she takes a long look down one path. And she takes a long glance down the other. When she looks up at the cat, she's like, I don't really know where to go. And the cat says, well, where is it that you want to go? Alice again kind of looks at each path, and she's like, I don't really know. To which I love the quote of the cat, paraphrasing the cat. Sounds weird. Paraphrasing the cat. If you don't know where you're going, then one road is just as good as the other. What's the application here, right? Not that big of a stretch. Wisdom puts you on a path where the Christ follower wants to go. Do you know where it is that you want to go? Do you know what path it is that you desire to take? Well, if it's the way of wisdom, if it's the way of God, then ask for wisdom. Pursue wisdom, and it will put you on the path where you want to go. When we seek God's kingdom first, he will put us on a pathway that leads in a different direction than any other path or choice this world has to offer. And it's the best path of all. It's the best path you can take. God's kingdom way leads to eternal life in the life here and now, and certainly in the life to come with God forever. So the way of wisdom allows you to know where you are going and why you are headed in that direction. We want to be able to say with King David from Psalm 17, "My steps have held to your paths and my feet have not stumbled." And when our priorities are in line, when we're able to be centered with God, we can stay on his path with his guidance. All right, with that bit of introduction, I want to redirect our thoughts back to Matthew chapter 6. So if you have your Bible or Bible app, join me in Matthew chapter 6. And it's here that we pick up with Jesus in this kingdom-oriented Sermon on the Mount. And his focus here is priorities. So listen closely to Matthew 6, verse 24. "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So here's Jesus pressing into these things that we often place above God and his kingdom, right? And Jesus' godly wisdom concludes, we cannot rightly divide our heart's affections. We can't. We can try. We can try our best to go in one direction and the other, but frankly, it's just impossible. You can't serve the things of this world and God's path. It's unwise, it's exhausting, it's impossible. And so what Jesus is teaching us here is that when we arrive at the fork in the road, we have to choose a path. So which way is it going to be? And then the rest of Matthew 6 is Jesus kind of discussing, helping us to consider our priorities in our life. So pick up with me in verse 25. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Now I love this question. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, on the surface, and we've heard many classes and sermons about this, Jesus is giving this firm challenge or command to not worry. And many of us are like, failed on that. I'll raise my hand, right? It's kind of hard not to worry. It's like built into our DNA. But tucked away inside of that teaching, there's something at the heart of what Jesus is saying, and I believe we often miss it. As simple as it's going to sound, I believe we often miss the heartbeat of what Jesus is saying here. Here's this truth that he's saying. God sees you. He sees you in your everyday struggles, in your everyday circumstances, in all of your relationships. God sees you every moment of every day. He's with you. He sees you. And listen, this is important. Don't hear Jesus' words here in Matthew 6 with an angry tone. Refuse the urge to do that. Instead, hear Jesus speaking to this crowd. Hear Jesus speaking to you through a gentle and wise voice that is reminding us that worry does not have to rule our day. If our priorities are centered with God, if they're in the right order, then our everyday concerns, our fears, our worries, our failures, our concerns, all of those things don't have to lead us to a place of overwhelming anxiety. Instead, if you'll think with me here, in our difficult moments and in our joyful moments, we can find a place of reassurance with God. We can be reminded of the hope that we have in Him every moment of every day. And so if we will choose God's path at the fork in the road, right? We come to this place and we're faced with this moment of chaos. We're faced with this moment of fear or heartache or sorrow or pain. And we come to the fork in the road. We can either choose to be overwhelmed by anxiety, to be overwhelmed with all of these things over here that don't include coming near to God. Or we can say, okay, it's okay to have pain. It's okay to struggle with this. But I'm going to do those things with God. You following me? I'm going to do those things with God. And when we do that, anxiety does not win the day. Matter of fact, anxiety and fear and depression and despair and destruction and all of those things, they don't win out. Love wins out. That's the truth every time. So you stand at the fork in the road. Which path will you choose? Throughout the Matthew 6 text, we come to this word worry. And every time, here's what it means. It means to be divided or to be torn apart. And when we're overwhelmed with worry or anxiety, have you ever felt that in your gut? You feel torn apart, right? You feel like you're being divided in your insides. That's just how it feels. And Jesus knew that this would be the struggle. He knew that this would be harmful to us. And so he says, listen, don't worry. Trust me in this. And so instead of going to that place of overwhelming worry and anxiety, go to a place where we can trust God in every moment of every day. Because Jesus knew that that inner turmoil, that worry, that anxiety that weighs us down leads us to a place of despair. It leads us to a place of depression and destruction. But when we choose God's way, when we choose wisdom, we begin to be consumed with this quiet confidence of Christ. And I describe it like that intentionally. Because the world doesn't recognize it. The world doesn't see it. It's a quiet confidence in Christ our Savior. And it's not that worry goes away completely. Don't hear me say that this morning. It's that it begins to decrease as our quiet confidence in Christ increases. What path will you choose? God sees you. God sees you, but not only that, he cares about you. And many of you might be thinking right now, man, preacher, you're really knocking it out of the park today. Those two principles are really deep. God sees you and he cares about you. Heard that before. But would you just stop for a minute and consider those words on the screen? God cares for you. Do you believe that? Have you received that truth into your heart that God personally cares for you? And when we receive that as truth, when we receive that into our hearts, I'm just telling you, it's a game changer. It is a game changer. And so when you're feeling lonely, when you're feeling afraid, God cares for you. When you go through financial hardship, God cares for you. When you feel ostracized or misunderstood, God cares for you. When you feel rejected or judged because of your faith, God cares for you. When you feel overwhelmed by some type of addiction or dysfunctional behavior, like you just can't give it up, listen to me, God cares for you. He sees you and he cares about you. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus goes to long lengths to illustrate this point. Listen to what he says. Starting in verse 28, he says, "See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass, will he not much more clothe you? Now listen closely, starting in verse 31. Jesus says, so do not worry, saying, what will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Now, don't get thrown off by this word pagan. All it simply means is someone that doesn't know God. That's what a pagan is, someone that doesn't know God. So Jesus is saying that those who don't know God yet can easily chase after and be consumed by worldly things, where they live, what they're going to eat, what they're going to be wearing this coming week. These are the things of the world that consume their thought processes, their thoughts, their feelings. They're consumed by these things. So here's the thing. I believe this is challenging, but I believe it's a fair question. If you are a Christian this morning, I believe this is a fair question. Does your life look any different than those who don't know God? Does your life as a disciple of Jesus look any different than those who do not know God? And before you answer too quickly, if you'll allow me, I want to walk us through just a few reflective questions. And I want you to really consider this morning. And don't walk away here thinking, all right, I got to change everything. No, I want to encourage you to just focus on one area, one part of your life. Where can you be changed by the power of God, with God, to be more like Him so that your life reflects His image? All right, here's some of the questions. And remember, these questions are all underneath the principle today of your priorities will determine your path. So here's the first question. Do you find yourself fixated on the furnishings of your home? Now, don't get me wrong, it's okay to want nice things. But if all you think about is what you want next, or what you're going to do next to your house, if your thoughts are consumed by the things of this world, then maybe your life doesn't look much differently than those who don't know God. Do you constantly think about how much more money you want to make? Or the next car that you're going to drive? Or the next edition of the smartphone that you want? Are your thoughts consumed by these things? Is there a hobby or something that you enjoy that has become a greater affection in your heart than God is? It's okay to do things recreational that you enjoy. My question is has that become something of greater affection than God in your life? Or perhaps there's a relationship that you're currently engaged in, and that relationship takes greater precedence in your life than God does. You spend more time thinking about that person. You spend more time daydreaming about that person. You spend more time trying to think of ways to be kind or to impress that person than time you do thinking about God and your relationship with Him. So why these difficult questions? Why these difficult questions? Because, listen to me, church, if we're not careful, we will be deceived. Because the way of the world wants us to accept this kind of pathway as normal, and even this kind of pathway as right. That if we choose this pathway, the ways of the world, that's the ultimate place to satisfaction and happiness. And here's the truth. If you desire to seek God today, whether you're a disciple yet or whether you're not a Christian just yet, listen to me. If you desire to seek God, then that pathway towards wisdom, here's what it looks like. It's consumed with humility. It's marked by surrender. And it's known for greater and greater amounts of grace and wisdom and love. That's the pathway of God. Recently, one of our members, and I will not state their name because they wouldn't want their name stated in this illustration, but recently one of our members made a life-changing, kingdom-oriented decision. This person decided to quit a good-paying, assurance-giving job that promised them a road of promotions and greater salaries. Now, that sounds like a path worth taking, right? But instead of that path, this person chose the path of the kingdom. They took a job recently that offers a mission of bringing life and light to others in the name of Jesus. This new opportunity offers less prosperity, less prestige, but greater promise of changing the lives of those around them for the glory of God and His kingdom. That is a life surrendered to God, seeking Him first in His kingdom and His righteousness. So my question for us is, what about us? What about us? We come to a fork in the road, and we look down one path, and it looks pretty good. And we look down the other path, and man, that looks fun, exciting, satisfying. And then we ask, which way should I go? And if we're listening, if we're really desiring the way of wisdom, you'll hear these words as you glance down the path. Follow me. Let me pray for us. So God, we desire nothing more than to follow you. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear your kingdom ways. God, I pray for each person here that they would ask you today for wisdom, and that because of your love and faithfulness, you would grant us your wisdom. And as we live by your ways of wisdom, God, would you give us the faith to trust you more? Would you grant us humility? Would you make us people who sacrifice for others? God, would you increase our levels of grace? Would you give us more of your love? Because God, again, all we desire is to follow you. But we need your guidance. We need your help. So go with us here. As we leave here, would you remind us that you see us and that you care about us, and that through your power, wisdom, and love, you can use us to do great things for your glory and our joy. We ask for these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and close with this song.